Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 6 through 13. The Reverend Quentin Cundiff is preaching. The broadcast to chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Our scripture reading today is from 2 Thessalonians, the third chapter, beginning with the sixth verse. St. Paul writes, "Now we command you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to imitate us, because we were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's bread without paying for it. But with toil and labor we worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you. It was not because we do not have that right, but to give you in ourselves an example to imitate. For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busy bodies. Now, such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good." This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that we have before us this morning is, frankly, not really an easy one for us to address. We could go the safe route by trying to talk about this only in historical contexts. I could go on about how medieval peasants only worked about 150 days a year, and since we work so much more, we are less prone to the idleness condemned here, so we don't really need to worry about this and find a way to weasel out of it. The problem is that that number is completely wrong and has nothing to do with the reality of the life of a medieval peasant, and so the point doesn't really work. I could go the other way and take this in a purely political direction, railing against people who refuse to work and therefore should not be given assistance for food. But not only would that miss the point of the text, it would be incredibly insensitive in these days. In truth, this text, like all texts, must be read in the context of the book itself. Remember that 2 Thessalonians is Paul's letter to the Christians in Thessalonica, wherein he revisits not only the imminent return of Christ, but connects the return of our Lord to the persecution the Thessalonians were undergoing at that time. Paul encourages the Christians undergoing persecution by reminding them early in the book, "When the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, they will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might." These are real words of warning for the enemies of Christ. And indeed, Paul expected the return of the Lord to be soon, and that this very threat would be fulfilled in his seeing. So also did the Christians in Thessalonica. Indeed, some of them had even been terrified by a fake letter claiming to be from Paul, saying that Jesus had already returned and that they had missed the boat. But the real practical question that arises in the minds of people is this: if Jesus is actually about to return, what reason do I have to do anything? This same question is asked by many Christians today. We often say that every Christian should be prepared for the return of Christ on any day. That has been the refrain of the church for 2,000 years. But just recently, we saw another false prophet announce the imminent return of our Lord. I'm 40 years old, and I think this was the fifth prophesied apocalypse that has yet to happen in my adult life. But still, in preparation, we saw Christians giving away their belongings, selling things, acting in ways that appeared, by all accounts, to be foolish. But we need to take a moment and be fair and recognize that they had reason to act this way. Were they misguided? Sure. But if you were absolutely convinced that Jesus was coming back tomorrow, would you come to work today? Do you really love your cubicle that much that you're like, oh yeah, I would be ready to sit in my office all day long? Or better, would it matter if you paid your mortgage? If you were certain that by the time the bank could foreclose on you, Jesus would have returned and ushered in an age of peace. Would that be something that was high on your list of priorities? I suspect that we might just as easily fall into this kind of idleness. We don't need to worry about anything. Jesus is on his way back. Let's just not worry about things and just take it easy until he gets here. And it is this kind of idleness that Paul warns against. Note that St. Paul says in our text to keep away from any brother who is walking in idleness and not in accord with the tradition that you receive from us. And then he goes on to tell them what the tradition was that they received. The tradition established by Paul and his companions while in Thessalonica was to work. Paul, who believed and taught that the Lord's return was imminent, lived in a rightly ordered life, and he continued to be productive. He did not say that because Jesus was coming back. He had no need to worry about the things of this life. There was no need to work, no need to plant, no need to sow. Of course, this brings to mind the quote that is often attributed to Luther, that he would plant a tree today if he knew that Jesus was returning tomorrow. And indeed, this is what Paul is calling us to in our text today. And this is a good thing for us to be reminded of. We must be reminded of this instruction from God because it is too easy to fall into the very kinds of idleness that Paul speaks of in this text. It is easy to become busybodies in our context here. Spending a lot of time near other people makes it easy to cast aspersions upon others and tell people about the slights that you experience at the hands of someone else. It is easy for us to not put the best construction on the actions and words of our neighbors and our coworkers. It is easy to read an email with the wrong tone in mind and draw wrong conclusions from it. It is even easier to be here and speak ill of the people out there, those who are not here to defend themselves. Yes, dear friends, idleness is not simply sitting on a couch eating ice cream when there's work to be done. Idleness is not doing the things that we have been given to do. And therein lies the real problem with idleness. Because when we are idle, we are not serving our neighbors as we ought to. Each of us here have been given an incredible vocation from God to serve Him by serving His church and the world that needs to hear the gospel. We here have the opportunity to help so many. And when we allow ourselves to become distracted from the work set before us, we sin against God and our neighbors by not serving as we ought to. And this is why St. Paul calls us to imitate him, as we remember that he himself sought to imitate our Lord. He sought to imitate our Lord Jesus Christ, who never lost sight of the task set before him. He remained always ready to receive sinners and to forgive them. And he still does. Jesus still receives us. He receives you. He forgives us for our sins when we repent, not because they are of no consequence, but because the debt has been paid. Our Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross to suffer and die for your sins and mine, for our idleness, our laziness, our gossip, and all the rest of our sins. He died. So let us not walk in the sins that our Lord has already paid for, the sins that he has already redeemed us from. Let us seek to walk the path of life, the life that we have from him. This is what it means for us to imitate the example set for us by Paul. Let us be willing to work not because it is the source of righteousness, but let us work because we have been made righteous in Christ. And by working, we serve our neighbors and we assist the work of the gospel in a way that is truly incredible. We here have a great opportunity to do much for the kingdom, and we in particular must keep watch over ourselves that we do not become weary of doing good. May God have mercy on us and help us in this thing. Amen. Now may the peace that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord to life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast to chapels underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.